Yes, I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos. Hope everyone had a beautiful week. Again, I'm first going to list the cholim. Please, Dan, for this one is to be number one. It's Kamen Rafael Ben Gittel. Kamen Rafael Ben Gittel. He's very sick. And obviously, we'll have David Soloveitchik. Have David Soloveitchik. I don't know his name, but we'll David Soloveitchik. Those two tzaddikim are very sick. You can also down for the other tzaddikim and tzaddikuses I'm mentioning right now, Yehuda ben Shifra, Matisyahu Chaim ben Ittel, Matisyahu Chaim ben Ittel, I think it's Ittel, it might be Tzivol, Binyamin Ovadia ben Esther, Rachel bas Ilana, Moshe Dov ben Fega Bracha, Kalman ben Chaya Blima, Kalman ben Chaya Blima, Moshe Avraham ben Alexandria Simon, Boch Bendor Bennett ben Sewell, Leah Pesha Bastina, Avraham Yeshayahu ben Aviva, Chaya Malka bat Batsheva, Yakuti El Zamin ben Sawa, Netanel Ilan ben Shena Tzipoa. If you can please, Hindel or Hinda bat Sal Wachel. Daniela Bracha Zahava bat Fegaleya. Brina Baswina. Brina Baswina. You can please down for all the tzaddikim and tzaddikas as I just mentioned, the holy, holy yidden, please down for them. The following divrei Torah should be zechus and neshamas of the kedoshim who just got killed this past week in Jersey City. You know, unfortunately, you know, there was a yidden and a Jewish woman and a Jewish man who were killed, zechus and neshamas. They were holy yidden. This week's parsha is parsha for Yishlach. So Yismach Moshe, you know, said, you know, we know Yaakov Avinu sent Malachim, sent angels to Esav. But Yaakov Avinu knows, yes, angels, Malachim on a high level, but they're not Hashem. Hashem's the only one who can change somebody. Hashem's the only one who can change the world. So why is Yaakov sent Malachim? He should be diving to Hashem. So Pshat is, Yismach Moshe, Yaakov Avinu was sending Malachim to do his shtadlus, to do what he needs to be done. But of course, he was davening to Hashem. And you see this in Pasuk. Vayishlach Yaakov melachim lefanav. Lepanav. Meaning lefanav is really lepanav. Meaning only on the surface was Yaakov sending melachim. Yes, Yaakov physically was sending melachim, but that's only on the surface of Yaakovinu. And inside, Yaakovinu was davening and crying and begging and praying to Hashem, please save Esav and help me out from Esav. Then it says, Rashi says, when Yaakovinu, you know, told Esav, I lived in the house of Lavan. So Rashi, I think, says several explanations. One is Garti, meaning a stranger. One is Tayyum Mitzvah Shamati, I kept the whole Torah. So the Sfas Emes said this, a beautiful Sfas Emes, he said, only if you're going to be a stranger, meaning even every Jew, every year, or every Jew is going to be a stranger. When a Jew is a stranger to this world, he's a stranger to this world, then he or she will keep the Torah. He or she will keep the 630 mitzvahs. If they're going to be a ger or georis, you know, a stranger, then they'll keep the Tayyig mitzvahs. Well, the Chanan Wasman Zatzal, Hashem Yinakim Damo, Zechusa Yegeno Leinu, quoted the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal. Again, Zechusa Yegeno Leinu. We know Rashi says, Yaakov Vino told Esav, Tayyig mitzvah Shemati, V'lo Lamati Masim Wa'im. So simple shot is Yaakov telling Esav, I kept the 630 mitzvahs, and I didn't learn from the evil ways of Lavan. But the Chanan Wasserman Zatzal, quoting the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal, said a different shot. Yaakov Avinu said, "Tayyig mitzvah shemati." Yes, I remained a fum yid. I remained a fum Jew in the house of Lavan. I kept the Torah mitzvahs, but for lo lamati masim ra'im, I didn't learn from Lavan's evil ways. Meaning, Lavan had a cheshik, had a credible desire, had the excitement, I guess, to do actions and items that are not so proper. Yaakov Avinu said, I didn't learn from them. Meaning, I should have learned just like Lavan, had a cheshik, had a desire, incredible excitement to do items that are not proper. I should have learned for him to take that same desire and excitement for myself to keep the Torah. I should have learned, just like Lavan had a cheshek to do items that are not proper, I should have learned how to use that cheshek for myself to keep the Torah mitzvahs. Then we know Yaakovino tells Esav all the animals. They said, "Vayi li shor v'chamor." Have an ox and a donkey. So the Walag has two questions. Vayi, especially in Lashon Tzar, is language of distress, like Vayi b'mei Achashverosh. And when you look in last week's Parsha, Yaakov had more than one ox, one donkey. You know, and if you look, maybe it's a Rashi or maybe it's Chumash, but I forgot. But Yaakovino sent many animals to Esav. Sheep, goats, camels, and cows, but he did not send him any ox or donkeys. And why did Yaakovino say, all I had is one ox, one donkey? So the Walag said the Peshat is because don't forget, they were living in the Midbar. They were living like in the desert. And to survive in such a place, to survive in such an area, where the land they live living in, you need a donkey. A donkey is one of the animals that can, you know, pretty much walk anywhere. And an ox is a powerful animal. So you need an ox pulling all your goods. So Yaakovino was scared to tell Esav about that he has many oxes and many donkeys, because he thought Esav would take it away from him. And therefore Yaakov would not have the animals that are necessary to live in the country or the condition where he was. That's why he said Vihi. It was a lashon. It was a language of anguish. It was a language of distress for Yaakov that he had to lie to Esav. All they have is one ox and one donkey. Then it says, Moshe Shua from Lakewood. I apologize. But Moshe Shua from Lakewood said, "Another pshav. Ishlach Yaakov melachim lefana." Why did Yaakov send angels to Esav? Why did he send human beings? Yaakov had other yidden, had other Jews who were with him. Why didn't he send them? Those people to try to convince Esav, you know, turn around your ways, or don't touch Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu knew that if he would have sent Malachim, that if he would have sent human beings, Esav might have a bad hashpah, might have a bad influence on them. That's why he sent Malachim, angels. Rashi said these were real angels. These were Malachim mamash, real angels. Because Yaakov Avinu knew that Esav cannot have any hashpah on angels. Then it says Yitzchak died, and it says Vayisaf Yisaf Elamo. He was gathered to his people, which means Gan Eden. He was gathered to the tzaddikim and tzaddikas in the next world. And then it said afterwards, Yitzchak died. Yitzchak was gathered to his people, and then Yitzchak after that, see, Yitzchak was old. But if you look by Avinu, the Avinu did mitzvahs and became old, and then he said Vayasif Elamo. Then he got and he died, and he got gathered to his nation. But it doesn't say afterwards, after Avinu got gathered, by Yasaf Elamog went to Gan Eden, it doesn't say afterwards Avinu was old. It said it before. Zakwa Moshe Feinstein's Atzal, a beautiful word. Avinu, how did he get Gan Eden? Because of the Torah, mitzvahs, and the chesed he did, and the kiruv. But Yitzchak, the way he gathered, how did he get Gan Eden? Yitzchak got Gan Eden, got heaven, because he was willing to give up, Yitzchak was willing to give up his life for this, because Hashem commanded. Yitzchak got Gan Eden because he was the one about to be shechted on the Keder by Avram Avinu. Since Yitzchak was willing to give up his life on the Keder, that's why he went to Gan Eden, and that's why he says Vayisaf Elamo. He was gathered to Gan Eden, and only afterwards he said he became old. The teacher said Yitzchak was already decreed he's going to go to Gan Eden, to heaven, even before he died, because of the willing to give up his life. Then when Moshe Shor from Lakewood said another beautiful word, he says that Yaakov Avinu had all his children in Padan Aram, and it also lists Binyamin. But we know Binyamin wasn't born, Padan Aram is when Yaakov Avinu lived in the house of Lavan. But we know Binyamin was not born in the house of Lavan. So it said Yaakov Avinu had all his children in Padan Aram, which is house of Lavan, but Binyamin was not born then. So what's going on? So Zuck from Moshe Shor from Lakewood, he said he thinks it's Rav Elya Baruch Finkelzatzal, who used to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva Meir in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. But what Moshe Shor said, because we know that Rachel Imenu, when she had Yosef, she was crying to Hashem, "Please give me another son, please, please." She was crying and crying. So even so, Binyamin technically was not physically born in the house of Lavan, but because Rachel started crying then for another child, it's viewed as if he was already born. It's viewed as if he's already born, Binyamin, even so physically wasn't, because of Rachel's tefillas. And then it said Yaakov Avinu got scared because of Esav, and it said he was put into anguish, he was anguished about it. But you are the Yitzhak. So the Walag said Yaakov Avinu got scared because of Esav. Maybe Yaakov Avinu lost the protection of Hashem. He lost Ashraas Hashchina, and that's what anguished him. It anguished him. Got the Yitzhak. He was anguished. The Walag said that he lost Ashraas Hashchina. Maybe. The Divrei Shmuel, that's a Nesiva one aside. Divrei Shmuel is one of the Slanim Rebbe's. Divrei Shmuel said another beautiful word. Divrei Shmuel said the Jewish people are compared to three items: the stars, the dirt, and sand. So this, when the Jews, when Bnei Yisrael, when the Yidim and the Jewish people are compared to stars, that means we're on a high level. We're on the high level of keeping the Torah and mitzvahs. And even when compared to dirt, that means we're still keeping Torah and mitzvahs, because out of dirt comes trees, fruit trees, bushes, grass. So meaning that we're still in the ground, but we're producing spiritual trees. But sand, the Jews cannot, you cannot grow anything in sand, but yet the Jewish people are still compared to sand. And if you look, when Yaakov Avinu was davening to Hashem because of Esav, Yaakov said to Hashem, Kechol Hayam, even if one was sand. So what's going on? So Divrei Shmuel explaining Yaakov's tefillah to Esav. Divrei Shmuel explaining Yaakov's tefillah to Hashem. What Yaakov is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that even if we're sand, I mean that we can't produce anything. Hashem, you said you'll still protect us. Hashem, you said you'll protect us even if we're kechol hayam, even if we're sand. And that's what Yaakov used that tefillah. Then we know that Benjamin, how did he get his name? Because Yaakov Avinu called Benjamin. And Ramban said Benjamin is means a language, I think, of strength, a language of being strong, a strength. So what's going on? So of Aaron David Goldberg Shlita, Washiva of Tells of Cleveland, in Tells Yeshiva in Cleveland, he said there's a Chazal that said Yaakov Avinu knew that if he wouldn't have 12 shvat, he wouldn't have 12 boys, he might go to Gehenna. And Yaakov Avinu knew that Leah was getting old and Bilhah was getting old, so therefore they weren't able to have children anymore. And Zilpah already passed away. So therefore he knew that Rachel Imenu was the last one, and he thought that maybe if he doesn't have this 12th son, he might go to Gehenna for marrying two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Therefore, when he saw that he had another son from Rachel, the Benjamin, it gave him strength. It was a son of strength. It gave him strength that Baruch Hashem, he's not going to Gehenna. And then I'll leave you off one last word. Yisrael, we know when the Malach fought, Sasha Esau fought Yaakov, he called him Yisrael. So Rabbi Unger, who's a visioner at Chassid from Muncie, New York, said, what's Yisrael? Yud stands for Yaakov and Yisrael. Shin stands for Sarah. Reish stands for Rivka and Rachel. Al stands for Abraham. And Lamed stands for Leah. So I believe Rav Unger saying this word, he's saying the pshat is that you're only you're Yisrael when you walk in the footsteps of the Avos and Imas. When you walk in the footsteps of Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Rachel and Leah. When you walk in the footsteps of your Avos and Imas, then that's the way to become a Yisrael. That's the way you become a Yid. Okay, I'm going to tell you now, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. These halachas just discussed at the Shabbos table, but I'm just giving you some halachas. Rav Yaakov Smith said, let's say you buy your wife flowers, or you buy flowers for a shul, and you're doing it only for the beauty of it. You're not doing it to smell it. So if you come to smell it, and it smells nice, but you only bought the flowers for beauty, not for smelling, and you smell the flowers anyway, and it smells nice, Rav Yaakov Smith said, you do not make a bracha on the smelling of it. You do not make a bracha on the smelling of it, because the flowers were bought for beauty, not for smelling. Then Rav Yaakov Smith also said, you know, snuff, that some people smell snuff on Yom Kippur, or let's say in Shabbos, they make a bracha of it. Rav Yaakov Smith said this could be problematic because snuff is really tobacco, and someone sprays some nice fragrance on it, and therefore that's why it smells. And Rav Yaakov Smith said, an item that's created by a human being to smell nice, you make no bracha on it. You don't make a bracha on it when someone sprays something on it to make it nice, to smell nice again. So when the item, like you said, like snuff, was really tobacco, and someone sprayed it on it, nice fragrance, since it was made by a human being, you do not make a bracha on it. But Heshi Kahan said, you know, there's an Indian, don't put food or drink under your bed when you go to sleep at night. When you go to sleep at night, don't put any food or drink under it. But Heshi Kahan writes, but if you did, Bidi Evid, you can still eat and drink that. You can still eat and drink it, even so it was under your bed when you went to sleep at night. But you should not do it, but if you did, you can still eat and drink it. But Heshi Kahan also writes that you should not leave any drinks open. If you leave a drink open overnight, you can still drink it. Even if a drink is left open, you can still drink it. I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos and only besos tovas. And I'll leave you off with a beautiful story. We have Aya Levine. As you know, he's a big tzaddik in Yerushalayim. He's a big tzaddik. So I guess it's between Yom Kippur and Sukkot that people were going to buy lulavim, esrogim. And he went to Rav Aya Levine, Zatzal Zichus Yigen Aleinu, went to a nursing home. So someone said, Rav Aya Levine, you know, pre-Eitz Adar, it's good to get a beautiful esrog. It's Adar, to glorify it. But Rav Aya Levine said, you're right, but Hadata B'nei Zakein, it's also a mitzvah to glorify an older person. And Rav Aya Levine said, it's better to glorify someone who's alive than an object who's not alive. It's more important to glorify a human being than to glorify an item that was never alive. Meaning, it's more important to visit people in a nursing home to visit people in a nursing home is more important than to go shopping for an esrog. Of course, you have to buy a lulav of an esrog. We're not saying that. But if you can cheer someone up in a nursing home or a hospital, and therefore you'll get a kosher lulav and esrog, it might not be the most glorified one, it's still better to go back to the hospital and nursing home. That's what Rav Levine is saying, to cheer up a fellow yid. I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos, and hopefully there'll be no more sorrows for Klal Yisrael.